us on Digital Life every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, only on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
And we are back on another amazing episode of the number one tech and innovation show on radio, Digital Life. And as you know, every Sunday, we bring you very, very, very insightful conversations about tech, everything that works in that world, everything that works in the world of innovation here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Emmanuel Onka. I and Yvonne Ohaifo hold it down here every Sunday, the world of tech. We bring you today another episode of insightful conversation on technology. Today's conversation is all about the trends among us. Every one of us has experienced it in one way or another. I messaged someone, you know, who was on the show. I think it was the very first guest we had on the show some time ago. Yeah. And I just sent him a message like, bro, how you doing? I heard you left the bank, you were working it. And he sent me a message like, yeah, I left last week. I actually left Nigeria last week. And I just like, wow, I was about inviting you to come on the show. And he was like, I'm sorry, bro. Except we do it through Skype or through Zoom. That's the only way out right now. So it's a trend right now. Everybody's talking about it. It's all in our faces. And we're going to be having that conversation here, you know, on Digital Life. Previously, it has only affected the medical field. You know, many doctors, nurses, caregivers living at an alarming rate. But here, it's happening in the tech space. You know, Nigerian tech space is quote and unquote suffering. And a lot, according to a lot of reports, you know, lots of tech bros, tech C's in the IT departments of various companies are handing in resignation letters like it's a flyer. Like, you can't even talk to them anyhow right now because, pow, the next thing they're at the airport, the next thing you're seeing photo on social media, hello UK, hello US, hello Canada, and that's just it for your company. So we're going to have that conversation right here on Digital Life, and we have two young men, you know, who are going to be helping us with this conversation. Right here with me in the studio, I have the CEO and the co-founder of Small Small, Tunde Balogun, and we also have here Nifishe Adebisi, and he's the operations officer of the Root Hub. The Root Hub is actually a digital skills company, right? Yeah. So the thing about these two young men here is that while Balogun came back to Nigeria to build a company, we have Nifishe here on the verge. So we're going to have things, you know, we're going to have the two sides in this conversation. Let's hear from the both of them. Why is there so much craze right now for tech bros, you know, leaving the country? Why is a lot of tech bros jackpotting? I'll start very first by Nifishe. Nifishe, welcome to Digital Life. Please say that again.
Thank you, Mano.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Very well. Okay, so can you just tell us why? Why are people leaving in droves?
The truth is that since COVID hit, almost every organization has tried to integrate tech into their services and processes.
Yeah.
And like they've seen that these companies that haven't successfully integrated tech into all their processes and automated services have kind of gone under. Like, can we give examples? Okay, when COVID hits, everyone started going on Netflix and box office went down, cinema owners went down, and other streaming services started popping up. Even Disney had their own and started
streaming sites.
More. Yeah, exactly. And like, we now get to understand that with the age where we are right now, tech has taken over most of it. And if we do not capitalize on that, we'll be left behind. So Nigeria is in the tech space where we are in between 40 years behind in infrastructure advancement and still like 5 years up to date into like tech and other services. And tech doesn't just evolve around just programming. There's so much more. And the thing about tech is that it can be moved into any sector regardless of where you are.
So the thing is this. We just realized. Nigeria just woke up when it comes to tech because of the 2020 COVID. You know, that was what got a lot of people interested. That is why. So right now, tech is like the happening thing around. Okay, and our tech bros are like growing, getting prominence. You know, around the countries, they are getting sought after. And then these same tech bros are leaving at this very point in time.
So I realized that for you to leave Nigeria, you want something better than what has been offered. To be honest, there is no socio-technological stimuli that can actually motivate us to stay behind. Power is a major issue. Do you know how much you spend on power just to keep hungry systems up and our data running? We need a lot of these things to run these programs and run these softwares. And like, if we keep blaming the country for putting us in this state where we say, oh, Nigeria is bad, like, we don't have power, we don't have this, we don't have internet. And like, I can't blame Nigeria entirely because like, it's not, how can I put this? It's beyond just individuals. It's not about, now power, let me talk about power.
Okay.
So the state we are right now, we get an average of 8 hours per day on like for power usage. And like, it is infinitesimal compared to what we need to run our organizations. And like, it is not that way. It is not that way elsewhere. Even in countries like Ghana, Togo, it's not that way here. Cause like, this is obvious our power issues here. It is strategically induced by some individuals to induce us to like, to pay for generators and their services that they have created to fund their frivolities. And it's very obvious that it's wicked, yeah? It's wicked. Do you want people to grow or you want them to be subservient to you?
So what you're saying is that they are man-made problems.
Exactly. It's like, and like, that's one of the reasons why AI is gaining ground here, because we are trying to eliminate human error and intrinsic randomness in human behavior. There's so much more we can do if we can just put some services in place that does not require any human to actually put their hands and mess up.
But why is leaving, instead of searching for a solution, why is leaving the only option here?
Because it's obvious that the solutions are not here, and we have to leave, go over there, see how it's been done, come back here and replicate it. I know it's easier said than done that we'll go and come back.
Especially because when you go, you will have to, first of all, settle. You know, try to get something. You know, you have to, first of all, gain ground. Exactly. So that may even take years. You know, and so you have to gain ground before
settle down
first. Yes. Oh,
understand the system again.
Then make enough money to take care of yourself first before coming back to now consider Nigeria's problems. And that may never happen, because again, even if it happens, you already be an elderly man, you know, and all you want to do is spend time with your grandkids, you know, love upon your family. So will that ever happen? Will we ever get to that stage?
The only certainty in life is uncertainty. When we choose to make decisions based on building generational wealth and something bigger than oneself, you start to see the bigger picture and understand that we have to do more by coming back. See, coming back is harder than going. I know, like, this is more expensive to go, yeah, and all, but once we get there, I know friends that they got there and started washing cars, and in 2 years, this guy built a hotel in IB, and I was like, how? Washing cars. And like, it's very easy for you to stay in your comfort zone over there, because almost everything has been created in a way that even though you're taxed, yeah, you get your value, you get respect, you get human rights, you get so many amenities that can like subconsciously make you a better person. And when you go over there, you can fall into the trap.
Look,
of the
good life is addictive. The good life is addictive.
It's good that we have somebody who have experienced the good life, you know, and has come back to Nigeria. So, what do you have to say about that, Balogun?
It's an interesting conversation. Thank you for having me this morning. I lived over 10 years abroad. I lived in Europe. I lived in Asia. I've been to over 24 countries. And when I moved back in 2015, I think the last company I founded before Small, which was a tech company as well, but real estate. I was living a very comfortable life. My company was making good money and I was enjoying all of that. But I got to a place in life that I kind of felt like there's more, or there was more, you know.
You
and
can
for
do.
Me, yeah, like there's the next level. And for me, next level is coming back. For so many months, I was in that place of, what's that next level? There's this void inside of me, emptiness I was feeling, even though money was coming in. I was living in one of the nicest apartments downtown Bangkok when I lived in Asia. but I got to a place that I knew that coming back home was it. You know, I could be part of the solution in Nigeria. I wasn't really sure how, but I just knew that I wanted more out of life, and more for me meant coming back to Nigeria. So, and I shared it. Even my parents, nobody believed it. You know, and once I've made decisions like that, I don't really try to look for or wait around to justify it. I bought my ticket, you know, and all of that, and I moved back to Nigeria.
Did they pray for you? They were like, hey God, what's going like, on? I rebuke every spirit of coming back.
If you are my brother, if you are my brother, and you told me that you're coming back to Nigeria, and
the
you live 10 years.
Have been to do what?
No, I'll first ask if it's one woman that is dragging you here. Because, how?
That wasn't even the case. But yeah, a lot of people frowned around it. They couldn't understood why I wanted to move back. Mm-hmm. But for me, I mean no one could change that, because I just felt like it was more of a destiny move for me than just
as a business owner, right? As someone who after experiencing all of that sanity in another country, especially with businesses, electricity and all of those things, what was the biggest challenge you had to deal with coming from that to this? So how were you able, what was the biggest challenge for you?
The honest truth is that Nigeria can be very frustrating. I mean, that we all deal with it every day, right? But I think one thing for me was just that having that positive mind. Once I've decided to do anything, there's a way I change my orientation and kind of lock myself in this positive that regardless of what the challenges are, I'm here already. So let me look for how can I make it work. So moving back, one of the shock was when I was trying to rent a place, I realized that I was going to pay rent 1-2 years upfront. You know, and for me, I was like, I was shocked literally, because I moved outside of the country when I was still a teenager, right? In my early teens, right? So I was shocked, and that was one of the first problems that jumped at me. Knowing that I was coming from a real estate background, how can I solve this problem? It was a challenge. It was a personal challenge. In fact, the shocking bit, which is also part of the solution my company is offering now, I had saved up some money, and I wanted to, my goal was that, okay, I could buy a studio or one bedroom apartment, you know, because living abroad also, that was what I was used to, studio one bedroom. I was a single guy, so there's no need for 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, as we usually sometimes make that mistake
in Nigeria,
where once you have little money, you want to live big immediately, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, and all of that, right? So I had saved up some money. I was going to buy a studio, 1-bedroom. And upon returning, I realized that there were no studios, 1-bedroom apartment. But this was back in 2015. You know, even before I moved back myself, I had sent my siblings to go look for something for me, and they couldn't find. And for me, that money, I ended up just spending it. I rented a house, and the rest just went like that. If I had bought a studio 1-bedroom in 2015, I know what it will be worth today.
Let's talk about how, you know, as you moved back, started your own, you run a company now. Do you have to struggle with people? As you are coming back, people are running. You're coming back, so people are leaving, and you have to deal with the problem of, you know, brain drain. The people, the skills that you need, that you know that people, these young tech heads can offer. But then again, they don't want to stay back, because maybe the money you are even offering them is nothing compared to what they are going to earn abroad. So have you ever encountered such a challenge?
So that challenge would be there for a long time, whether we like it or not. Nifiche, right, has shared a lot of reasons why this would be a continuous problem. Infrastructure is not there, and I've experienced it myself. One thing that I always tell people is that as a CEO, as a founder, one of the things you can do is just make your workplace very attractive as much as possible, that even when people are considering leaving, they'll put up all the options on the table and be able to say, okay, maybe I can still wait a bit instead of now. Can I still give it another 1 year? Because at the end of the day, as a company, you're all about growth and the well-being of your people. So that's how I look at it, right? The other thing I always tell people as well is that we need to build a very solid pipeline where we have, as many people are going, we have so many people that are coming into this space.
And
one way to look at it is that, think of the advancement of Yahoo in Nigeria. How we have this you know, so many young people. And when we're talking about young tech in Nigeria being still at its infancy, it's not at its infancy.
Let us all calm down first. Yeah. First of all, what is Yahoo? Let's start from there.
Wait, I don't understand. You're asking him what is Yahoo? Even a caller can tell you what is Yahoo.
No, because he sounds very sure. He even said that they don't have schools.
Of course. Haven't you seen documentaries out there?
All these things are social media. When they arrest them, when they go to places where they bust Yahoo guys, see the numbers of guys that they usually bust, right? It's almost like an apprenticeship of some sort.
Are you serious?
We see that all over the country. So imagine all this, and there's no way you would do tech is not involved, right? Laptop. In fact, they replicate websites of companies, right? There's so many things, you see out there. So imagine all of this energy and all of these resources.
Talent.
We channel all of that into the legit tech space. It means that people can leave, but we have enough because we have the population on our side. Let's not forget.
But how do we change that mindset? Because what you're offering now is a solution, right? But how do we change that mindset? See, I've been a Yahoo boy. For instance, I've been a Yahoo boy.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen 70 million, I've seen 50 million, I've picked 20 million, maybe I picked 10 million naira. And what are you offering me? 350,000 naira? As a developer
and
or
motivational
what?
Speech.
We are offering you an
attractive office. Like how?
No, hold on. He said generational wealth, right?
We are offering generational wealth. How? Peace of mind.
How so?
Okay, now if you're building a company of sorts and you employ someone that should have joined Yahoo instead, first you have to understand that children take to technology like fish take to water. Once you start how do you think these guys that do Yahoo? I classify Yahoo as intro tech. It's one of those intro tech jobs. They're not actually tech, but like their
introduction to technology.
Exactly. Yes. And like when they started here, their minds were being channeled to this focus. Get money. But how differentiates legit from the Yahoo? And when we now see that Yahoo boys are actually very intelligent.
Brilliant.
These guys can make a convincing
and hardworking too
contract.
That's another thing. They can be very hardworking. Sleepless nights.
All that energy, if you can channel it to something legit, I assure you that 70 million they get, they would spend it like it is nothing because you didn't work for it. It's different. This human psychology, you can lie to yourself. Your mind will not lie to you. That money is not yours. You would spend it however. In like 2 months, the money is gone. But if you did work for that money and got it legit, you could channel it somewhere else. See, you could stock options. They have so much more. All you have to do is that, to be honest, we just do not educate ourselves enough about
I think that's where the problem is. The let's
dwell on that for a while, right? You know that as we call them Yahoo boys, of course the term already depicts criminality. So how many people or companies will be open
to accepting
these people, to grooming them, you know, mentoring them somehow, you know, reorienting their minds
the challenge is even trusting them.
Exactly.
Trusting
the
them.
First thing
you
is
know,
trust.
Trusting them. How will I trust a Yahoo boy that said he has changed and put him in my company, put him in charge of my IT department, or put him as, you know, someone.
People don't go around People don't go around putting Yahoo label on their head. I don't need to, if you are coming to my company, I don't need to know if you were once a Yahoo boy. I just need to know your pedigree. Like, what are your skills? What are you good at, right? So, and it's also on me as a company to ensure that we have guardrails for to protect the company in either data and stuff like that, right? So what if there's somebody coming to my company to come out, maybe our engineers or different department, for you to even take that step to come and work 9 to 5 and want to earn maybe 300-350, it shows that, you know, you're typically not the, you know, day-to-day Yahoo guy. You might still have something going on that I'm not aware of. But it just shows that you can come in and then by just seeing me talk or hearing my co-founders and just being in a space where we're even building small, small. My company name is Small Small. And the whole idea is that you don't have to like try to have it all at once. There's a path to build.
There's
wealth.
A process.
Yeah, there's a process to achieving all you want to achieve in life. And that process is just being consistent, being hungry, and then working it one day at a time.
Nifisha, you want to say something?
Yeah, you got the question right, but the context was wrong. So like, let's bring to reality.
Okay.
Who do you think creates these platforms and cybersecurity softwares for organizations and tech, big tech? These are guys that, to be honest, if we have a breach in Microsoft, supposedly, hypothetically, I don't work for them, yeah? So if you have a breach in Microsoft and someone says he can do this and that, it's very obvious he created the problem he's trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Let's employ him and hold him down so he would also prevent such from happening.
Mm-hmm.
There is a psychology behind the Yahoo mentality. Mm-hmm. It's work now, get money now. Mm-hmm. But if you actually want to delay self-gratification and let things work and your own kids will benefit from it, you need to put yourself in this mentality that wait, let's hold up, forget all the hype and all the clout. What am I doing in my life? Am I just trying to get cars and all these liabilities that everyone thinks, everyone rates as success? Or am I trying to build something that you can never see? The richest of the richest don't change their phones every time a new one comes out. They don't have the latest gadgets. Let's not even talk about Elon Musk, is very controversial. Let's talk about the other nerds. Look at these men. They have a very simple life.
Are you trying to justify your phone? Are you trying to justify your phone?
Well, what phone does he use? Why are you saying
show
it?
Show it to everyone.
I'm using an iPhone 7. I'm using it for years.
Your type is rare. you deserve to be put in a museum as a monument.
But interestingly, when iPhone 7 came out,
mm-hmm.
I bought it within, I think, the first month.
Mm.
And that was the highest I've ever paid for a phone. And within 2 months of buying it, I swapped it for a lesser phone because I realized that it wasn't even... What do I need it for at the end of the day?
What I needed at that time.
I'm just showing you that sometimes when you go after this,
Benjamin, that's a lesson for you, one big lesson I've learned, once you go after this thing
and you have them at the end of the day, there's this void that this thing actually
let me derail a bit. Are you on the iPhone gang or the Android gang?
It doesn't matter. But for me, like,
you also deserve
iPhone
to be in the museum.
Android, it really doesn't matter.
Just a few months ago,
I got his Samsung Z Fold as a gift,
mm-hmm.
and it was from one of our clients that sent it as a gift, just as an appreciation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think like that would be my primary phone, but it's the phone that they all use in the office to take anytime you want to take good picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the phone they use.
Wow!
So it's available to everybody. This is a phone of over a million naira.
Yeah.
The phone I'm using is less than 100,000 naira.
Ha!
Right. So it just shows you like, really, these things, do they really matter? How much do they really matter?
Emmanuel, are you listening?
The grand scheme of things.
Okay.
Imagine buying
the Okay.
Lagos, can you hear this, gentlemen? These are men who control, who run businesses. We don't have kwekwe people in the studio. We have business people in the studio, people who are CEOs, and they are telling you, say, not be person where carry big phone, get money. Emmanuel.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I have my phone because of pictures. Thank you very much.
It's a lie. It's because even go up on steel. Imagine it's a lie. I put it to you that you're lying.
Okay, so let's get back to the conversations.
Let's go back.
We hear that a lot of apps are crashing. You know, bank apps, I'm not mentioning names. Bank apps are crashing. Websites are malfunctioning. You know, because the IT guys are all living in droves. You know, is the situation right now. We're hearing rumors, you know, unconfirmed, not company has come out to say, oh, this is actually what is happening here. But we're seeing things happening around. What is the situation of this? How can we solve this? Since we're all looking at solutions right now.
You can go for it first.
Okay.
Okay, let me start by saying this. I'm bringing back to the kids.
Okay.
Tech is something that anyone can learn. Do not let anyone fool you into thinking you must learn programming before you know tech. Do not be fooled into those pay 2,000 naira for your master class in this or that. That is inconsequential. Tech is actually understanding how to create a problem and create a solution for that problem. Because if you don't understand tech, people create problems that they create solutions for and now make money from the solutions they provided. Let me bring it back to this. We create tech and tech services and products and services to solve pain points and problems being faced by individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And now, those problems are already in existing products and services. If we can channel the attention of some of our kids to, let's think about this. Should we look at these TVs now? LCDs, LEDs, UHDs, I know. What is the denominating factor? We just want to sit in front of the TV. I don't watch TV myself. I can't remember when last I watched TV. But I just want to sit on TV and look at the clearest, most vivid colors, vibrant shapes and everything. But the attention to details was not taken by chance. It was by individuals trying to focus of a team of individuals or others to solving this. Let's get this done better.
But from what you're saying, if I get you correctly, you're saying that we could inculcate more teenagers into the tech sector. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Now, if you're saying this, but this is on the long run. We're talking about immediate solutions. Because these guys are leaving the countries in droves, and more persons are leaving. Like September, January, we have a lot of persons that are built to leave this country.
This is not
you are not there anymore. Let's say by January, you're not here anymore. So you're already leaving a gap. How do we fill that gap right now? How do we do that?
I think the reality is, like, I mean, my company, we have about 6 engineers. We're looking to bring in another 4 engineers within the next few months. I think there are 2 ways, right? One is, for any company, you have to invest in how your recruitment process and what you go after. And part of the way we look at it within our company is that we can't stop anybody from leaving. You have to accept that, right? However, are you creating? Because tech is an enabler. It's not. It's a means to an end, not the end in itself. And I think that's what he was also saying, right? Once we've understood that it's just a means to an end, then even within our organization, how are we ensuring that when people come in, it's just a means to an end? With the people that are coming in, is they are not the end in itself. They're all on a journey. Yeah, sure.
So, like, I've not talked about my company since I started talking, and there's a reason for that. It's not just about ourselves or our profits. It's about what comes after what we do and who can tell people stories, true legit stories, not some bot stories about what you have done in their lives. So let me give an example. I'm not going to preach about my company, but so, like, in 2020 I met a kid. He just finished high school. He had not written JAMB. In fact, he failed JAMB already. And like, he hadn't done anything, and all he had was a laptop and nothing. And he came to my hub at Lister University in Ibadan, and I and my colleague, we sat down with him, and his name is Peter, and we started teaching him. Like, we had facilitators, not ourselves, we had facilitators, and we taught him how to design, do 3D designing, image manipulation, and visual communication. In 2 years, he had become a pro in some softwares. You know, designing is much more bigger than CorelDRAW and all those. Those are still softwares. There's Blender, there's Unreal Engine, there is Maxon Cinema 4D. And like, in 2 years, he had already sold an NFT for £5,000.
Lagos.
See, I understand this, but I'm talking about real, like, right, so now, present issues. So let me go to the cybersecurity's angle. So probably you get it clearer. Okay, we have a team of engineers. Okay, in the space, you know, ensuring that our data is safe and everything. So we have 4 persons. Of these 4 persons, we have 3 of them leaving, remaining 1. And we're still trying in the recruitment process to recruit more persons. What you have out there right now are people that will take your job. They will apply for the job regardless, but they are already like 60% in leaving the country. Okay, so they're going to spend that just 1 month, and the next thing, they're tendering their resignation.
So what I was saying, and I've spoken about this before, I say you can only make your organization attractive enough that even if they are supposed to leave like in 2 years, they will be considerate enough to at least stay 1 year. That, for me, you cannot stop it. People will leave.
But that still leaves a gap, though.
Yeah, it leaves a gap.
But people are not that
They are not that nice, but again,
I've had 11 people leave our company in a year. Wow. Not because
the structure was not good.
The structure wasn't good. It was because they were looking for something better.
And
they didn't know that we were underpaying ourselves. Bro, I'm an operations officer. I was paying myself 40K per month. Does that make sense? All I was doing was putting everything back into the company, making sure we reduce the cost of training individuals. We train people in digital skills like cinematography, UI, UX, full screen web dev, a lot more. But we undercut everything so we can reach a lot more people. In a year, we had already thought about 150 to 200 200 individuals. And the amount we made from them, we were like, that's not the point. We
so
just
I'll touch on practical things like that. Again, you cannot stop it. So stock option is one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people in my company now that if they know if they leave today, they are losing their stock option because it will not vest. It's supposed to vest over a period of time.
Okay, so hold on. That's some sort of
equity.
Incentive,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So you give them an stake in the company.
Yeah, in the company. So beyond that, there are several other benefits that we've introduced. Like my people can take up a loan, interest-free loan, within the company up to the amount of their salary. And there are other layers of loan that we've also provided. So we're always thinking, February, when we got back to, it's in January, we first initially had that conversation when we resumed from the holiday period.
Mm.
I told my HR, I said, do an audit. What's the cost of living of every average person in this office? How much do they spend on transportation? How much do they spend on rent? And they did the audit, they almost across, you know, the company, right? And they brought it back. And it showed that how much salary they were earning, which is a competitive salary,
mm-hmm.
wasn't substantial. You know, I didn't even tell my people why I was asking that to be done. I just wanted to, because I was looking at where the country was going, the cost of, personally in my own house, I saw how much we're spending on food on a weekly basis. It has almost doubled.
Yeah.
So I was just imagining, I was at home, how will these people be doing? So we also have leaders that should have the heart of the people. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about this thing. They gave me the audit and I was like, no, this is not making sense. If people are spending this much on transportation and this much on food, then we need to do something about it. And we increased, within a month, we increased everybody's salary. Everybody, you know, salary. And we didn't even put a word out there. I was even telling my people, some members of my team were like, oh, we should do a PR stunt around this, put it out, like, and all of that. I was like, that is not the goal. You know, it's not related to your KPI. I told them point blank when I was having a general meeting, this has nothing to do with your KPI. This is a social incentive from us to just improve.
Very true.
Improve the quality.
The reason why people are leaving is not because of the organizations or the differences between income brackets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the anchor Nigeria has put on us as individuals. It's very obvious now that peace of mind is an expensive commodity.
Oh man, preach! You're preaching. Preach it! Take care to that.
Okay.
Nifisha is taking us to church right now.
All right, Lagos, we're having this conversation right here in this room.
Emmanuel, before you open the phone lines, I need to ask this question.
Okay, let's hear your question.
Don't be a hater right now. Can we talk a bit about recruitment and mentorship? So you're talking about increasing, you know, the incentive for people, you know, which again, even with all of this, and some of them are still going to leave.
Yes.
So what about these young? There are a lot of people out there looking for tech jobs, right? But one problem they have, one thing they struggle with, is getting people who are willing to invest in them, you know, maybe train them, something like what you did for Peter now. His name is Peter, yes?
Yes, and what I've done for hundreds of
hundreds,
others.
Exactly, you know, train them and somehow just absorb them after somewhat like what the NYSC scheme does. You know, please don't say that out loud. You know, something like what the NYSC does, right? But you go out there, look for these people, right? People who you know that they are interested, they just don't know how to start.
But that is a lot of investment. That's a lot of investment.
We have to be willing to make that investment.
Do you understand?
It's part of the pipeline. Building
the
very solid pipeline.
A solid pipeline.
And I think every company needs to think in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
If we're all going to address this problem.
Yes.
If it's an investment, but part of a strategic company that wants to grow is, what are the investments I need to make today to avoid certain pitfall tomorrow?
Do you know what's beautiful about what I just said now? Take, for instance, you bring these youngsters, they're 16, 17, right? You train them. They grow with your company to a level. Do you understand? They go out there to do the same citywide, catch them young, bring other people in, right? Do the same thing so that even when they are leaving, they have a replacement. There's a replacement for them as they leave, because of course with growth comes aspirations, aspiring to other things. So you have, again, that pipeline that you talked about, you know, it's just it continues.
And we have
like
the population for it.
You know,
we do have the population.
The pipe actually determines a lot. Some organizations have some, like exactly what you just said, they do that and they make it so rosy. But when they start training those investors and start getting returns, they try to own those people. And our organization, we will not do
that. That's unfortunate.
We would tell you, we would even give you jobs. We have, see, the truth is that demand for tech jobs exceeds supply by 7 to 10.
And that's a factor.
So, and what we do is that I give some of my interns, I've been giving my interns jobs from the UK, jobs from random places, and I tell them, bro, it's your job. I'm not going to capitalize on it. Give me a percentage you prefer. And that's it. And that keeps them, we are not trying to
and that's
hold
some sort
them
of
down.
Builds loyalty, which is something that is difficult and it's a rare commodity again.
Building
in your term.
Loyalty right now in Nigeria with the state of the nation. I don't think that is even possible.
It is possible.
No, I don't think it's possible because you have to look at the realities on ground. Just like you now, you're taking steps to build that loyalty to your company, but look at the steps you're taking. So what about the little startup? What about the companies that have to go through a board to get that thing done? You are a CEO, so you can call the shot, but what about a company that have to go through
I'm
the board?
I'm a CEO that also, I have a board.
But you're down to the people, you're not like others. You know what I'm talking
startup,
about.
Then. That's not a startup. Mm-hmm. Once you, like, you have that's almost like an established proper company that has been in existence, mm-hmm. that everything, you have to take it to the board and all of that, right? But as a startup, part of what a startup is having that freedom to be able to move fast and make decisions and that flexibility.
Indeed, again, if you take in 10 people, of course some of them will leave. Mm-hmm. But the others that will stay with you and grow with you.
Absolutely.
Because they believe in your vision, yeah. right? And as they grow, especially if you teach them the value of leadership, they too will go out there, pick up people that you know, are just like them, you know, and so it just sort of, you know, continues the process. People will come, people will go.
Exactly.
The beautiful thing is that your company will remain.
Well, Lagos, you know? We have to go to the phone lines right now because we're having a very good time in the studio,
indeed,
and we're having a conversation here about jackpot craze and how it's affecting, the tech space in Nigeria.
Interestingly, I had this conversation just some hours ago, last hour. We're talking about jackpot.
If I call you thief now, they'll say is wanting one. If I call you thief now, you'll say one thing. But we're having the conversation about jackpot, and we have Tunde and Ifeanyi right here in the studio. The phone lines are open. You can send us a message on our phone lines, and you won't help us with that.
So they're not sending us messages to the phone lines, Emmanuel. What kind of
our WhatsApp?
Thank you
send
very
us
much.
Message
thank
to
you,
our WhatsApp,
you.
And please call our phone lines. Phone lines are open for you to
0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. You can also, I don't know if the female only line is working because it's not, you know, but you can send us messages on WhatsApp 0809597-5805. You know what's beautiful about the people we have in the studio today? They are young people. Okay, so if you are sitting down thinking that you are hopeless, you are not hopeless at all. These are young people who are doing great work. Young CEOs open to, you know, helping other people, you know, become very. I think you get what I'm saying. I'm sure you get it. So I'm opening the phone lines now. Let your calls come in 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. What's your name, sir?
This is Yemi from Magodo.
Yemi, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yemi, we can hear you. Go ahead.
You have a very great personality on the show. And this has been the quality of Rainbow FM from Monday to Sunday.
I don't think you know. Hey, somebody's questioning a woman in another show.
Do you understand? How can you call my show? Yemi, take your time. Oh. Hello?
Okay, we have a message here. We have CY is sending in a message from India. CY is saying, everybody is making money illegally and fronting legitimate stuff. Tech is the biggest marketplace. If your guest in the studio is still using iPhone 6 to 7, it means he jailbreak the phone from an illegal stuff. Have you ever asked people why they are still using iPhone Windows 7 software? See, every tech person is a professional scammer. Now, this is Nifiche.
That's directed at you.
As in,
Nifiche, please defend yourself now. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. He just called you a scammer.
Professional.
A professional scammer.
Just of course, by all means, you're entitled to what you think.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, what do you use phones for?
Mm-hmm.
WhatsApp. You know, let's check your phones and check your app activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you do there that's much more different from the latest phones you have?
Mm.
I'm doing my WhatsApp. I don't do Snapchat. In fact, I avoided social media for 2 months because I was I went back to calculus and integrals and differentials just to go back to machine learning. All these things, they are frivolities. They are inconsequential. So if you think I'm a scammer because I'm using an iPhone 7, I should ask you, now your iPhone, let's presume you're using iPhone 13 Pro Max. Now, at this point, how much have you made from your phone and all its components, the camera, the connectivity, everything? Tell me how much you've made from it, and I'll tell you, you're making liabilities, bro, because you're spending back-to-back on data, spending so much more on different things that just, to be honest, let's look at it, it's a liability.
I think the most important gadget to a tech bro is actually a laptop rather than the phone. And that is why a lot of the gentlemen here, they're not so much, you know, they're not big on phones. You just heard what Tunde said here.
That man from India, I hope you've
CY from CY. India.
Mm-hmm.
This one says, good morning, Ima, Yvonne and Ima, greetings to your guests too. They have really spoken well and I believe they can help a lot of youths to commit to the rise of this great nation, Nigeria. They should drop their details on how to reach out to them. Yes, they will at the end of the show.
Indeed, but let's take a few calls. Hello,
good morning.
Good morning, welcome to the show.
My name is Emeka, I'm calling from K2 Ekpe.
Emeka, go ahead.
Please, I want to just ask a little question, I beg, not that you are offended. Please, I want your guy tech to tell me his motivator. Only you, but I want to know about, I want to explain about a motivator.
I don't understand. We don't understand your question. What does that mean?
The person that's a motivator, that person that is look, want to change all this, the person that like now, as I'm hearing you now, I love you, I like your program, but I want to be like you. Who do you look to bring all those things to Nigeria? I want to know.
Oh, your inspiration. Okay, his inspiration.
Can I say something?
Please go ahead.
When I knew I loved tech, I was in high school and our hostel was like three stories up and the classroom was also three stories up next to the hostel. Do you know, I used to save my hostel food, climb to the third floor, jump to the other building and go to the computer room to go and bribe these men that were in the tech office owned by the school, give them my food so they can teach me some things.
Oh, look at
so
that.
It's not even about
it starts with passion.
When I was a kid, I remember like my parents always calling me destroyer. Why? Because I always disassembled anything with screwdrivers and I would reassemble it back.
And I would have tied you down if I was your dad.
I would have donated you to church.
I would have tied you down. You don't know what you're playing with.
I think another thing is, when we talk about tech, right, I've talked about it being an enabler, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so much. He said that there's so aspect to it or elements to it, right? Mm. You have the program as the engineer. Mm. You have digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much around it. So it's developed what is my area of passion. And there's nothing you want to do today that tech cannot enable. You also said that, right? Mm-hmm. So if tech can enable anything, if you already have an area of passion, then see what role or what side of tech you can bring into that. If you are a marketer, can you get into digital marketing that you know how to do SEO and you know how to do like campaign, you know, and all social media campaigns and all of those things that are in digital marketing, right? You know, there are just so many layers to it that anybody that have any interest in tech, you can go into it based on your area of passion.
Fantastic.
Can I say, like, there are no excuses. Mm. If you think because you don't have the latest gadgets, latest peripherals, you might not be able to join in. But, like, can I tell you something? We've been coding since we were using Symbian Nokia phones.
Mm.
And writing code on those tiny screens.
Mm.
So, like, let's let nobody deceive you, yeah? It's as easy as you want it.
Oh my, we're nearly out of time.
Lines are buzzing. I'll squeeze in one call, and please keep it to 60 seconds. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, welcome to the show.
This is Olamide from Baiga.
Olamide, go ahead, you have 60 seconds.
I'm just a teen, and I also love tech also. I want to be a cyber security analyst. So I just want to ask, like, though I've not been into tech, there are full scholarships to do, but everything just went into bad ways. Yeah? So, like, steps, or let me just say, like, they should mentor on what you should, the steps you should take, like, those things you should do first, like,
Okay, great. Olamide, thank you so much. That was up to 20 seconds. I'll take another one. 60 seconds. Hello. All right, sorry. I don't know what happened to you there.
There are so many messages right here. We have, you say, good afternoon, guys. God bless you for what you're doing. Please, how do I reach out to these great tech guys? I have passion for tech and anything internet for a very long time. I don't know where to start from. Please help me. I think that's the same thing Olamide was
and
asking.
And this is our cue to ask for your details.
Yes, please.
Okay. Nifishe, Tunde.
Okay, Nifishe first.
Firstly, it's not about my number. It's about my organization.
No. We don't want your organization. We want your own social media handles.
Okay, my social media handles.
Mm. Yes.
The Root Hub.
No. I mean your social media, your personal social media handle.
All right. Because
they're asking for direct mentorship. So they will come, reach out to you, and then anyone you can take, you take them in under your fold.
Okay, on Twitter, my username is BigD_Nifishe.
Mm-hmm.
And on Twitter, my handle is Nifishe_.
My Instagram
is Nifishe_.
Okay.
And my LinkedIn is Nifishe Adedayo.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What about you, Tunde?
So for LinkedIn, it's Tunde Daniel Balogun. For IG, Instagram is Tunde Balogun _. Twitter, Tunde Balogun _ as well. So for my organization, it's small.
All right.
All social media.
Lagos, when you reach out to these people, please go straight to the point. Don't send them a message and say, hi, sup. Go straight to the point. Introduce yourself and tell them you listen to Digital Life with this. I'd love to do that. How can you advise me? That kind of thing, okay? Keep it very professional. Lagos, we have to go now to bring you Tech of the Week. So stay with us. We have an innovator with us in the studio this morning. Emmanuel, am I right?
Yes, of course.
Okay, great. Stay with us.